program schedules, old programs, and videos. WGTD.org includes links to NPR, Wisconsin Public Radio, and WGTD's Facebook page.
Support comes from the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center. Whether you need information about Medicare, housing options, home care, or accessible transportation, the ADRC is the place to start. Their services are free. Call 262-605-6646.
This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that focuses on the concerns in the Tri-County area. It's hosted by Jane Herring, Marcia Connett, Joan Rory, and Ron Purty. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 32-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning. This is Joan Rory, your host of Community Matters here on WGTD in Racine, Kenosha, and Elkhorn. I'm super excited today, and I appreciate everyone tuning in to listen. One of my true heroes was generous enough to spend some time with me today. And she has quite a story. She's really embedded and engaged in our community. And I can honestly say from firsthand, our community is a better place with Officer Gabby Hood in it. So I'd like to introduce Racine Police Officer Gabby Hood. Gabby has been with the force. She's had a career change. She wears lots of hats in our community. I'm excited to share that she serves on the HALO Board of Directors and very engaged in the processes of our nonprofit. So having Gabby as part of the team is really beneficial in our community, especially with this community-oriented policing effort that we have in Racine. And Gabby's going to be able to tell you a lot more about it. But first of all, welcome, Officer Hood. And I'm going to call you Gabby. You're a good friend.
Thank you for having me.
You heard what I just said. I'm so excited because you are a fire starter in our community. I mean, if there's a need, Gabby's there. If there's questions, Gabby gets the answers. You know, it's just your finger is really on the pulse of what's happening here. And thank goodness you're on the police department to be able to share that community passion. So, Gabby, welcome. And I'm so excited to have you. And the first thing I would like you to do is give us the Gabby story. You know, you're a very young person with quite a lot of accomplishments already under your belt. And you've been a lifelong Racinian, born and raised. So can you share the Gabby story of you growing up here and what got you to where you are right now?
Sure. So I am born and raised in the city of Racine. I grew up with my mom and dad. I have quite a few siblings. We're very active in athletics and our church growing up. And, you know, I graduated.
North side, south side, West Racine, where'd you grow up?
I was a south sider. I was definitely a Southsider. I went to Wisconsin Lutheran School for K to 8, and then I begged and begged and begged to go to Park High School so that I could have more opportunities. So I was able to attend Park High School, and my sisters also did. Graduated from Park High School in 2013, and I went on to college in Madison for a year, and my family kind of brought me back because I hadn't really ever been away from them. So I decided to move a little bit closer to home and attend school in Milwaukee, where I attended Alverno College. I ended up graduating there. From there, I was involved in a lot of things at Alverno. Alverno's got a different model when it comes to education and the way that they do things. So we're very heavily involved in the community within our college. And that was I went there because of that reason. They were always putting the community first. After that, I was always working in college. I stayed in Milwaukee for a little bit and started my master's program, and I was working as an electrician. It was a random thing. My basketball coach growing up owned a business, and he said, "Hey, you think you wanted to try this?" And I said, "You know what? I think I will try it. I really like building stuff. I'm pretty handy." So I did that for a number of years, owned my own business, and that was wonderful. I got to work on a lot of great projects, the Northwestern Mutual Building, the Pfizer Forum, wow. Lots of big projects in the Milwaukee area, the Mental Health Crisis Center, located right off the freeway. I was a part of that project. So I had a lot of
trial by fire.
Yeah.
You were thrown by fire. But you were thrown into the middle of the pool.
But it was great. A wonderful experience. My sister ended up being in Milwaukee with me. She went to Alverno as well. So I've always had her kind of close. And then I decided at one point that I wanted to be a little bit closer to home still. So I came back to Racine. I still own my business and I still was bouncing around the idea of doing something else because I knew from a very young age that I wanted to be a police officer. So there was a time around the time of COVID where I was like, you know what? I think this is a good time because my business is in a good spot that I could step away and I can finally work in the community. It had always been really important to me to be able to give back to the community. I had a coach growing up that was really impactful for me, and he worked at the police department. His daughter was super impactful on me on the way that they both carried themselves within the community, doing things for the community, and just volunteering in general when it came to our community, to our church community. So I was always enamored by the things that they did, and something told me that from a very young age that was the job that I wanted to do. So
time out, Gabby. What was your degree in?
My degree was psychology.
Excellent. It really does. It makes me wonder when I hear people say, I knew I wanted to be a cop. Is it from a community service? Like you're serving the community perspective? Is there something about being an officer that really stood out to you, you know, to attract you to it? Because honestly, I don't think I could be paid enough to do something like that. And I, you know, I'm a passionate person, but that's an incredible passion. Is there anything else other than the community service angle that drove you to it?
I think that just as from my childhood, I just remember events that the police were at and how kind everyone was. And just, I don't know, there's just something about it where I'm like, you know, serving people is what I need to do. And my college coach always said is serving others is beneath you. Leadership is beyond you. And that's something from the very beginning that I was like, you know what, that's going to be my motto. And if I can make a difference, even if it's a small difference, I am going to do it. There
that's
was a lot
incredible.
Of
incredible. Say that again.
The quote from my coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's if serving others is beneath you, leadership is beyond you.
I have goosebumps. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and he's a wonderful man. He always was, you know, uplifting us girls. I went to a women's college, so he was really, again, another impactful person to push me to continue to be able to serve others because he was that way. And he always talked about servant leadership, and I figured that this role would be my best option to be a servant leader, especially the clientele that we have here in the city. We're so diverse. There are not many officers that look like me, who are like me, that can relate with some of the people that we work with. And that's something that has helped me on so many occasions because people just have that little bit of extra trust in me, which helps us to connect on some level to get them their needs met.
Sure. I think it's important for the community to hear how positively impactful it is on younger people, the police presence, the police force, because, you know, it's not an easy job. It's not an easy position to be in the community. So I think it's very important that we hear as often as we can that there are positive, you know, influences and impacts and how the police force does offer that. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're right about what you said. Many people don't understand the amount of positive things that do come out of the department. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. I mean, social media is a huge thing now, but there are a lot of great things happening. So, you know, I've hosted Coffee with a Cop and other events so that people can get their concerns answered and feel like they can talk to us on some level that's a level playing field, I guess you could say.
Yeah. So you entered the police force as what?
A patrol officer. So I got hired by the department. I had to go to the academy. I came back to the department, had a little bit more training. And then I was on patrol for another 5.5 months with a field training officer who rode with me and helped me through all the learning curves and whatnot. And then I was on my own. So I was on my own for a rather short amount of time, just about 2 years, before I was able to put in for a different position, which is where I'm in now. I'm in the community-oriented policing division, and I'm placed at the Robert Quintanilla Cop House at 1140 Geneva Street. And this community-oriented policing is it's a perfect place for me. Everyone says that it is, because I have so much more flexibility to be able to help people. I can help residents with their issues. I can link them to other public or private agencies that can help solve some of their concerns. I can build relationships with the people in my neighborhood, help try to improve their quality of life, and really focus on some of the crime issues that present themselves here in the neighborhood.
Awesome. And that is your niche, no doubt about it. Now, you did mention the cop houses, the community-oriented police houses. If you are in Racine, you've driven by, there's several of them. But what are they? They're a house, a residential house in a residential neighborhood. Can you give us a define what cop houses are and what they mean to the neighborhoods?
Absolutely. So we have 6 houses currently. Richard Polzine, a wonderful change agent that was the chief of police here at the department from the 90s into 2000. He worked for the department for 36 years and brought this model to Racine in 1996. We finally fully adopted it. And this model is a way for, they put these houses in areas that had high crime so that we could move in, help get them the resources they need to help fix up their homes, work on some of these crime issues, and really set examples for the people in the neighborhood on how to take care of your home or get the things that you do need. So this model helped us, you know, reduce the crime, reduce the calls for service in the area, and help us build these relationships with people in the community. So now we're able to host events here. We have people that ask to use the space. People can just stop in and get items that they need. Specifically at my house, there's another organization called Orchestrating Goods. They provide food here, like dry goods that families can come get. There's diapers. There's some juices, yogurts, things that they can come help themselves to a grocery bag and take things that they need for their home if they're falling on a hard time. Also here in my conference room, I have a number of resources that the Racine County area provides, whether it's human services, here at the PD things we have, everything you possibly can need is there, and people can come to me anytime so that we can help them or at least point them in the right direction if it's something that I am not able to fully help with.
Yeah, I know that the Hispanic Roundtable meets, or prior to COVID, met at the Geneva House, so I do know that it is a community hub, but I guess I didn't realize that needs are met, like tangible needs are met. And I should remember that, but I guess I didn't realize. So is the cop house staffed? Are you the sole staff person in this cop house? Are there other people there or volunteers that are there when you're not there to accommodate those needs?
Each house is different. And has different things at their home. Orchestrating Goods is at a few of our homes. I am the sole person at my house. We have a person from the county that could be here and help get you some goods. And we also have our probation and parole agents at all of our houses, except for 2 of them, I believe, don't have agents. So they would be able to let people get the things that they need as well. And we host a slew of other events like resume labs, parenting classes. At my house specifically, every second Wednesday, we have Waffle Wednesday, where I have guests come in. We make them breakfast. We talk about things. We get to know each other. And typically, I have a class from the local school so that they can see some of the things that our neighborhood has at their disposal. We also have craft club and a slew of other things. We're starting a girls group real soon here. So we try to keep it busy so that the neighborhood kids can come over, the school kids can come after school. There's plenty of opportunity for people to have something here.
So there might be some mini Gabby Hoods in your neighborhood looking at you the way you looked at the police officers when you were growing up. And I just have this enormous smile on my face because what a role model to look at, you know, look and see in action. I didn't realize all of those things happened at our cop houses.
Oh, yeah. And each, like I said, each house has different things. Some other organizations are in some of the other homes. Other homes might not have an organization at all, but there's plenty of resources at all of them. And each of our homes are actually also staffed with probation and parole agents, except for one of our houses on the north side. And this is an attempt for people that live in the area and maybe are on probation and parole. Maybe they can't get a ride to their appointments. Now they're within walking distance or a bus route to get to their appointments with their agents so that they can take care of their needs.
Sure. Okay, you said 96. That means, oh gosh, I'm doing math in my head. Next year is 40 years.
Yeah, it's going to be 40 awesome.
40 years. It seems like 10 years ago that I remember, you know, Chief Polzine talking about this initiative. And I guess it's aging me more than you, but 40 years. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but in the time that we've had those cop houses, I know that you said they were started to anticipate bringing crime down, et cetera. Do we have numbers that support that?
I am sure that there's numbers somewhere. I do not have them, but I know for a fact that the long hours that people have put in have definitely reduced the crime that we have seen.
Well, and what you're really talking about, what you're really defining is building a neighborhood. You know,
that's right.
That alone, when neighbors know neighbors, and that's going to decrease crime and increase confidence in homeowners and things like that. So you're really talking about the building blocks of building a neighborhood and a community.
That's right. That's what we need more of.
What are we going to do to celebrate 40 years of community policing?
I wish Polzine would be here to see it. It would have been an amazing thing, but we will have to celebrate it, certainly.
Absolutely.
Because we have many organizations that reach out to us because they want to adopt this model, and I'm thankful that Mount Pleasant Police Department right next door has adopted it and also has their own house that's able to serve people within their community.
Right. Yeah, and that's a good point, because my next question to you was, and if I believe that our cop house program is a national model. Am I right?
You're right. You're absolutely right. It's a national model that anyone could do if they wanted to. I think that it's just the learning curve on what it's about. And if people see it in action, they'd understand that it really does work.
Yeah, that's just incredible. So all over the country, we have police departments contacting us here, you, whatever, to emulate or inquire about these programs so they can do the same thing in their communities. That's pretty cool. I don't think our community knows that.
I don't think that most people do. The impact that this program truly has had, and the lengths and the amount of time and volunteers that it takes to keep the houses going is really wonderful.
Is six enough? Would 300 be enough? I mean, when I think about numbers like that, you know, I like to think, gosh, every community, every neighborhood, but we really don't have defined neighborhoods, but is six enough? What are plans? And that was my actual next question. Well, let's go back, because I jump all over the place when I'm chatting with guests. I often forget how much time I have left, and because I'm so into learning about my community. Talk to me, and maybe you could share some unique challenges that might be affiliated with being part of a cop house versus, you know, a community without one, or being a standard patrol officer.
I think that people don't understand maybe the difference, and not that I'm not kind on patrol or I'm a different person here, but often when they speak with me here, it's just a more friendly level. When you're reaching out to them off patrol, everyone feels as though they're in trouble. And even sometimes people are hesitant to come here because of it's a cop house, like you're a cop still. So that's an issue. There's, again, the learning curve of like, well, am I going to be in trouble if I go there? Like, what happens to me? Again, it's just an education piece that's missing, where they don't understand everything that we do have here. This isn't to get people in trouble. This is only to assist people and reduce the problems in the neighborhood. And that was the criteria for getting a house located in the neighborhood for the crimes, a call to service, and nuisance calls. So it's all to help. And I think that that's the biggest issue so far, is people just not being educated on exactly what we do.
Well, you answered part of my question, my next question. What is the criteria for a cop house presence?
It was the crime, the calls for service, and the nuisance calls for service. That was the criteria.
Okay. So I just want to take a moment, because believe it or not, Gabby, I told you halfway through I will go to a commercial break little, just to identify who we are today. We're already halfway through. So I want to thank everybody for listening. My name is Joan Rory, and I am the host today of Community Matters. And my guest with me is Racine Police Officer Gabby Hood, who is with the Community-Oriented Police Division. So she has her own cop house on Geneva Street. I just finished asking you, Gabby, about challenges. What about success stories at our cop houses? How long have you been in the cop house? When did that position start for you?
I started this position in September of 24, so I've only been here a few months. So a huge learning curve from what I'm used to and like the standard day. My day is just all over the place now because I'm in control of what I do. But I've had a few success stories with getting people connected to resources that they need, people that newly moved into the neighborhood and also into the area, and getting them connections to like workforce development, food share, things like that. Understanding that we do have parenting class for people to come in. We've had some young parents come in and take advantage of our parenting class. Just a lot of good things. The students at Julian Thomas come here for Waffle Wednesday, and I spend a lot of time at their school because it's so close. So they love the fact that I'm here in the neighborhood. I see them walking from school. I walk with some of them sometimes. So they just feel so good about being able to come here, and I love hearing it from them.
And so that way, when a squad does show up, they're not so scared.
That's right.
Are you in uniform? In your?
I am. So this unit, the Community-Oriented Policing Unit, we wear black. So it's a little different than patrol, who wears the navy blue. We do wear black, but we still wear the vest and the patch shirts and everything like that. So a little bit different, but we can be distinguished just like an officer. Sometimes we can dress down depending on the event, which is nice too, because I think it puts people at ease. But I like to show up in uniform so that they know I can be the same person with my uniform as I am without it.
Man, you're the whole package, Gabby Hood. I love it. And I just can't stop my brain from visualizing a young 8-year-old girl looking at you thinking, that cop looks like me. And, you know, and just giving the same excitement and desires to the younger people that you had when you were that age, and you were so impressed and impacted. I'm really loving this mental image I have. Well, the future of cop houses, we're hitting a 40-year anniversary, but are there initiatives in the hopper? Not that you don't have a full plate. Believe me, what you're explaining to me is a great deal of work, but anything new, anything we can look forward to? What does the future of community-oriented policing look like?
So our department, though we have a division that's community-oriented policing, our whole department uses this model. I mean, everyone on the street should be using the same model to engage our community members, but they're always looking to advance things at our department. And as far as I know, at this point, we are looking to add houses, and that's something you guys should be on the lookout for this year. We will have another location popping up, so hopefully that'll be more advantageous for more groups of people if they don't feel like their needs are being met with our current house selection. And like I said, our department is really, really wonderful when it comes to engaging with the community and making sure that we're doing things to meet everyone's needs.
Right, and if the community doesn't know, our new chief of police is a Racine boy too, and I was very grateful to learn that, that, you know, we've got natives who know our community and know our history, but also see the potential, because I just think our community is loaded with potential and the passionate people behind it. So yeah, that's definitely good to see. So if you were to dream an event, something that would be a pure Gabby Hood addition to a cop house, any dreams out there of what you'd like to see?
Well, my biggest one was coffee with a cop. I felt like some of the things that I heard within the community, I monitor a lot of that stuff. I'm involved in a lot of organizations. There was just a lot of like, well, I don't know this, I don't know that, which is fair. I mean, we can't share everything that happens. We can't share every minute detail, sure. But I feel like we also could share more in certain aspects. And I have been allowed to share more in those settings. In my Coffee with the Cop settings, one that I got to host at your wonderful location was insightful for a lot of people. I found out in their feedback to me, there was things that people don't know. There's a lot of misinformation that floats around mm-hmm. about a lot of topics within the community. And these info sessions essentially are ways for people to get their concerns out, get honest answers from people other than me that can help answer and are part of these organizations so that we can all figure out how we can move forward together in the best direction.
You made a really good point. As a contact point and misinformation, and you and I both being very involved with HALO, and we're both very aware of HALO's reputation in our community, and I have an opportunity, and I would imagine you'd be the same. If you hear something, call me. You know, let's set the record straight. Don't repeat misinformation. Don't, you know, keep spreading it or sharing it. If you're hearing information about, you know, your position, you know, the cop houses or whatever, the neighborhood, make sure you contact someone who knows the answer, because you being part of that wheel that just keeps perpetuating misinformation is never going to help our community.
Absolutely.
So do you have a contact information you can share? Your email address or whatever it is, that if someone would like to contact you in regards to your work with the police, the community-oriented police house, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, anyone can reach out to me on my work cell phone, which is 262-270-0128.
And here's what I have to do. This is my dream when I make it to radio to say that number again.
262-270-0128. And they can also reach me by email. It's gabrielle.hood@cityofracine.org. And they're also able to stop at the Geneva House at any time. And my information is posted on the door, so okay. They can get what they need, stop at the PD, and anyone can get them my information.
What's the address on Geneva? I have it in memory, but I don't trust my memory.
1140 Geneva Street.
I was right. 1140 Geneva. What's coming up at the Cop House? Are there any events that you want to promote, share, anything on the calendar? Is there another Coffee with the Cop coming?
I have one in the works, hopefully within the next 2 months, and our location will be out real soon.
Excellent.
And then at the Cop House, we have parenting class tomorrow. We have resume lab on Friday from 9 to 11. We've got craft club next week from 4 to 5:30. It's also important to note that each of our COP houses have a neighborhood watch meeting once a month. So the Racine Neighborhood Watch, they have their personnel come in. All the officers sit in on the meeting, and then we're able to take concerns from citizens in person. And Neighborhood Watch also has whatever they bring to the table that night. So that's another opportunity for people to come into the COP house, see what it's about. I'll give tours. The meeting for the Northside Alliance, which is located at this house, is always the last Tuesday of the month. Last Tuesday of the month.
So I'm going to wrap up the cop program questions, but the cop houses are each have their own cop. So programming is different, or is it you guys all work together to try to provide the same thing? But I kind of get the idea that because you're in different neighborhoods, different programming might, you know, better suit unique needs. How does
you're
that
absolutely
work?
Right.
Okay,
so
cool.
Each, we work in the unit together. You're in charge of your house, and every neighborhood has their unique issues. Absolutely. But by having other outside agencies inside of our houses, you know, I can't solve some of these complex issues alone, but combining our efforts with some of these other agencies, the neighborhoods, the business districts, we're all able to solve these things together and come to some positive solutions. And that goes for our unit as well. Just because I'm here on the north side does not mean that I don't help on the south side, and vice versa for the folks on the south side, which is really great.
All right, then my last cop thought is, how can the community help you in this role, the people in your neighborhood, or, you know, the other cop house neighborhoods? How can the community support this, be a part of it? How can we be a part of it? How can we support?
I would say utilizing our spaces. You know, there's money that goes into the houses and the upkeep, and we have all these programs and whatnot, and sometimes people don't take advantage of them. And for some of them, if they're not taking advantage of, they're not able to continue. And some of them are noteworthy for the needs of our community members. So I would say being engaged in what your neighborhood is offering. And if you want to donate, we take donations for things as well. You know, we do coat drives and whatnot here. So there's a number of ways. It'd just be reaching out to the department and seeing what they can do. And if someone has a request, they can call the non-emergency number, and they can leave my name if they want, and I can get back to them. If they call the 262-886-2300, people have concerns, questions, or just want to chat about how they can help, they can call that number and get in touch with any one of us.
Awesome stuff. I mean, it's called community for a reason, and it takes the community to make it successful. So if you're thinking about any way you can assist or support or impact that community-oriented policing vision, definitely take advantage of Gabby and take of contacting Gabby. She'll line you up. She's a professional dot connector, you know. So very cool. Anything else you want to add about the COP program? Because we're going to move into the other cape that you wear as a superhero.
Oh, boy. No, I think we can move on.
Well, I wanted most definitely, because I know the need, and it's not just our community, but in the nation. You're a foster parent, and that is a superhero, in my opinion. Why? That takes a very special person or persons to commit to being a foster parent. And if you've been out in our community, I've noticed a recent promotional campaign, and I've seen the videos. They're incredible. I have goosebumps just talking about them. But the tagline for the Racine County Foster Parent Program is, it's hard, but do it anyway. Or what is it?
This won't be easy. Do it
this
anyway.
This won't be easy, but do it anyway. That's a strong, strong statement. You're being transparent, but it is a special person or persons that can commit to being a foster parent. Why? What brought you to that part? What brought you to this part of your journey as Gabby Hood?
This is all, again, back to just being a servant leader. I've had, you know, folks in my family dealing with foster care hit really close to home. My best friend was in foster care, and her family was one of the most prominent foster families here in the city. So being at their house, I mean, we'd wake up, there'd be kids there, and we'd come home from school, and there wouldn't be the same kids. So from a young age, really understanding the need of a wholesome home environment was something that's impacted me for a long time. And then going into college, meeting people from different backgrounds, volunteering in different settings. I went on to coach for a number of years, and I worked in the school for a little bit, and just constantly having kids ask to come home with you because of their home life just tugs at your heartstrings. So,
but you can't take them all, Gabby. You can't.
You cannot take them all. That is for sure. My house is bursting at the seams.
And you try. Yeah, I know you try.
If I could, I would. But I think that starting with one goes a long way. And I was looking for a non-traditional way to give back. I think that oftentimes when you ask somebody their definition of giving back or what they can do, they think of monetary things. But I mean, opening your home to someone who maybe doesn't know what a good home life is like is more valuable than any monetary donation that you could ever give, because it's going to take them through their life.
You're not just opening your home, you're opening your arms and your heart and your mind to, you know, really be a support system for these kids.
Absolutely. And it truly takes a village. Just like working at the police department, being a foster parent is a ton of work, and it really makes you reevaluate yourself and who you are, and it makes you be a better person. I mean, everyone says, oh, your kids are so lucky, and it's like, really, we are the lucky ones that have the privilege to have them.
I don't think there's ever a time when you don't have a foster kid that I can recollect.
Not since the day I've been licensed. No, you are correct.
Do you have foster kids right now? Obviously no details, but
correct.
I do have a family dynamic. Define your family for me.
Yeah, we have quite a few kids right now. Three kids that are in care, though, yes.
And aging in range, you know, ranging in age from baby? Give me the age range.
15 down to two. A 15, a 5, and a 2-year-old. What? Yeah.
Very different needs emotionally, physically.
Yes.
That's a lot of bending, a lot of flexibility, a lot of, oh, maybe this didn't work, let's try that.
Oh, yes. It's quite the journey. No one prepares you for it. You think you're prepared going in, especially having raised kids before, but now it's like you just need to be okay with not knowing, because that's what it is. Every day is a surprise.
Well, they like to keep you on your toes. What can you share with anybody listening that might think, okay, I could do this. I could, you know, maybe consider, what's the process?
So I would say first and foremost that right now, considering our new campaign, that anyone thinking about being a foster parent should go to YouTube and type in, this won't be easy, do it anyway. That way they'll be able to see all of the videos that the families were a part of for this campaign, so that they can get real life pictures of some of our community members who have opened their homes up to local kiddos. I'd also say that you could go to the Racine County Foster Care site. You can go from there to the videos as well. That way you can find some of the frequently asked questions, see what type of level of foster care you'd be willing to be a part of, because there is different licensing requirements for different levels of care. And then attend an info session. Often I do speak at a lot of the info sessions as a guest so that people can ask questions to me on my experience in foster care, and I try to help them make an informed decision. Another way to find out more information is calling 262-638-6595, and you'll speak with one of the foster care specialists, and they can answer a lot of the questions on the requirements, special needs, entering foster care, and kind of the commitment to recruiting that they do, training, and all the things that go into being a foster care parent long term.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about misinformation in, you know, when we were talking about community oriented policing, but I imagine there's plenty of misinformation and or myths out there regarding foster care, how you qualify. You can be single. You can rent a house. You don't have to own. You don't have to be, you know, there's misinformation and myths out there that might stop people from giving a call.
Absolutely. And that, and just even the levels of care. You could be a respite provider. I oftentimes recommend to families, how about try being respite? So a respite provider would be someone that, hey, I want to go on vacation. I'm interested in going on vacation. You're going to watch my kids for the weekend while I'm on vacation, and you're going to get paid to do so. So it's shorter stays that you're doing it, and you can really get your feet wet on kind of what that experience is like, taking care of a child just randomly coming in your home and having to adapt quickly to their needs.
Sure, sure. Which leads me to ask, because I always want to hear about challenges and successes, because I imagine the journey of foster care providing is like a roller coaster. There's lots of highs, lots of lows. What can you name a few challenges? Because then we're going to end with successes. So we end on a good note, but it's a special breed of person to do this. But can you share maybe a challenge or two?
Yeah, I would say that the most challenging part is understanding that we can't fix everything. As much as we want to try and you put in all this time and effort and sometimes you feel like you're maybe not seeing the results that you want, there are some things that are just not going to be undone in certain ages.
And these kids are coming to families with a lot of baggage.
Correct. Especially, I mean, we're talking teenagers, of course, are the ones that are the hardest to find homes for because people have this stigma against them and, you know, being violent or being this, but... I mean, yes, they've lived a lot harder life than most of us could ever imagine living in a short amount of time. Some of the things that they have endured, we wouldn't even be able to process as adults, let alone as a child still developing and learning. And they're tasked with trying to maintain school, live in this foreign home, and have a great attitude, even though they haven't been dealt the best hand of cards.
Yeah, and, you know, having been an educator, it's very difficult to compete against those external forces.
Absolutely.
You know, when children come to school hungry or they haven't slept or it's very hard in an educational environment, but you're at least providing an opportunity where they are safe, you know, and that's often, you know, the case that they're really just sometimes not in safe environments. So
absolutely.
To be able to open your home, your heart, and your hands to these kids is really something very special. I told you time flies with me and guests because I get so engaged in hearing what's going on in my community, in our community. I'm so grateful to you, Gabby, for taking the time and for the department allowing you to share some time with me for our community to learn community-oriented policing and foster parenting. It's not easy, but do it anyway. Those are excellent, excellent taglines. I'm going to ask you one more time because I didn't write it down. What did your coach say again? It was, if you're not prepared, say it again, that quote.
If serving others is beneath you, leadership is beyond you.
And that says it all. I think we have a pretty great community for foster care support, too. There's external organizations. I know Faith, Hope, and Love got tired of learning about foster children using garbage bags to put their things in, and off they took with that. So I know that we have a great support system in our community for our foster kids. But Gabby Hood, Officer Gabby Hood, thank you. Thank you for your community service, your incredibly good heart, your passions. And like I said, if there's a need, Gabby's there. If there's a question, Gabby will get you the answer. You just really connect our community in a way that I'm so proud of being part of this community with you in it. And our community's a better place with you in it, Gabby.
Well, I really appreciate that. And you know, where people find me, they find you. So what does that say about you?
Yeah, well, when we go into battle, Gabby, I'm right behind you.
WGTV HD.
All right. And thank you, audience, for listening today. This is Community Matters. I'm your host, Joan Rory. And my guest today sharing her journey into being a police officer, a community-oriented police officer, and a foster parent has really enlightened me. So I really appreciate you taking the time. And man, if we even get one call to the foster the foster care system, we win. So think about it. Take an opportunity, give them a call. And when you're out on the beat, Officer Hood, and you're in your Lake Geneva cop house, thank you for serving our community in this manner.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine.